Oh my, it's Monday night. Oops. It's Monday night. I'm out here at the craft site. It's rained a bit, which means that a whole bunch of little bitty flies. I don't think they're gnats. They're flies. They act like flies. They move around like flies. Anyway, oh, they're all... This place is just plagued with flies. I was in the car, but they seem to know I'm there. Several hundred of them in there. When I get out of it, they seem to leave the car alone. They have this sixth sense for me. Smelly or tasty or something. I just had a shower too. I shouldn't be so bad. But anyway. Oh, speaking of that. Yeah. One of the buildings over there, not too far at all from where I work, I found another shower besides the ones that I've done so far. The ones over at the IPOC were fine, but they didn't have any hot water. It was cold, stone cold. Whew. And that was pretty... That was pretty rough, I gotta tell you. So this one over here, tested it out, and it was warm, hot even. I guess it got hot, didn't stay in there long enough to get hot, because I just take a shower long enough to clean myself up. I want to get in there to sing and... too awfully much for therapy. It's the cheapest therapy I know of is a hot shower. So I've been thinking about it with the boys and saying, you know, they've got their troubles dealing with things. If they take a little bit of a long shower, I don't give them too much garbage for it, because I figure it's a lot cheaper than therapy. Well, I'm out here, and I'm a fair distance from the blister, and I've had to do some more tying down. Last night, I hardly got sleep for just the wind whipping the tarp on the top. And so now I've got it tied down quite a bit better with a little tension on it, and I think it's gonna do a fine job. I'm hoping. Anyway, so things are improving a little bit. Anyway, yeah, I took a good shower there. Somebody even came in and then they went back out. You know, I think it's funny because you really get the impression that even though these buildings were built with showers in them, I think they were just there for emergencies, but they didn't like seal them off and hide them. They're just right there. And it's like, you know, this is, they're there. I'm going to take advantage of them. They're even marked too. They say, yeah, we got showers here. So I take advantage of it. Why not? Like I said, when I was traveling a lot, it seems like years ago. But it was only about, golly, now it's almost 15. About 15 years ago. No, golly. Well, anyway, it was like 2012, so no, it was only 10 years ago. Oh my gosh, knows how much has happened in the last 10 years compared to what had happened the 10 years previous to that, which was a whole bunch of them, pretty much. I guess, you know, and, I was traveling a lot, but I was wanting to save money because I sure like how much they used to pay me. They used to pay me a per diem, so they would pay me kind of the average of how much it would cost to stay in a motel and all that stuff. And I just happened to notice that, well, no, I guess I just did happen to notice. And I said, wait, there's state parks near almost every single place where the Cooperative Extension Service had an office. And it's starting to sound like I'm having a little bit of a Irish lilt. It's because I was watching Waking Ted Devine, and that'll always bring this out in you. Anyway, so I went out there, and so I started, you know, I got myself a bit of a tent and a little bit of a cot, old army cot, and, you know, sleeping bag and all that, and I would go camp out. I was out traveling, which was maybe, once a week or so, during most of my time. There, toward the end, it was a tricky time money-wise for the state, I think, and there wasn't so many computers to replace. People were having to hang on to their computers longer. And that was about half of what I did, was change out people's computers. And anyway. So I got accustomed to going and sleeping out in at the state parks, the various state parks near where I worked. And it was good because I sat there and I said, you know what? I said, I don't really watch the television much at all. And I just go. I go to bed. I don't even go out to eat. You know, I would hit a grocery store, pick up something, carrots, broccoli, something like that. And then I'd just go there, go back, I'd eat a little bit, and then I'd go to bed. I'd wake up and take a shower, and I'd leave. And it's like, I am paying a whole lot of money to have some kind of, you know, writing table. You know, it was almost like a place where you could live. You know, it had a fridge and a microwave, and it's like, gracious, don't use either one of those. And so, yeah. You could get an annual camping pass for all the state parks, not all of them, but all the ones I went to. And it costs $180 a year, and you go, if I just spend 18 nights, well, it wasn't even that. Just, that was the cost of maybe 4 or 5 nights for an entire year. At first I would pay, and I, you know, it's $10 a night, and that was that was quite a bit cheaper. So then you said, well, do I do more than 18 nights of camping out? And you go, oh yeah, And so I got the annual camping pass. And so after I had done 18 nights, everything else was just free on board, right? And so I made a pretty good, camping. Of course, everybody would say, oh, you're crazy. And, oh, that's just mad. And they go, okay, well, it sure makes my wife happy. I get these big reimbursement checks, and she doesn't even have to, she doesn't even have to think about what I'm spending out there, because it's nothing compared to what I'm getting paid. Of course, that probably doesn't work anymore. Most of the places I was working at since then had, it was kind of a thing. You either take per diem, or you could bring your receipts. Most people brought their receipts because the places that they stayed at night were nicer. And they ate nicely when they were out there. And so the per diem really didn't cover it. At first they said, hey, it's just going to be the per diem. And then I guess some number cruncher, some accountant said, hey, we can have the best of both worlds. We'll tell them to bring in their receipts, and we'll only pay the receipts up to the rate. You're going, well, that makes it suck for everybody. Now there's no point. So there toward the very end, I was like, might as well just stay the night somewhere. I said, because I'm not, I don't make or lose anything by doing this. I still camp out a little bit, though, because I kind of like camping out. And that was nice. It's funny now, the number one nice thing about all these little flies, maybe I should call them midges. I don't think they're really biting me. Oh, they make you crazy. They say that Shetland doesn't have a midge problem, because it's, because the wind blows there so much that it just blows them all away. And I think that's what I'm experiencing right now. Because there's a nice breeze out here, and it's cool, and it's wonderful. And I gotta go to the bathroom soon. But, yeah. I don't know what got me on that thing about money and traveling and stuff like that. Certainly not being reimbursed for my commuting back and forth, but I think it's more than compensated by the fact that I get paid an awful lot more than I would get paid anyplace else. At least it works for me right now. I don't know how long. Last time I did this, it was a little over 18 months. I'll start being able to draw my pension in just a little over 2 years. Everybody says, oh, you shouldn't do that. You should let that thing sit there and wait until, they can't stand life anymore. Then take the pension. They go, that's just the gosh awful. It's the gosh awful stupidest thing to do for about 5 different reasons. But there's two that I immediately hearken to. Because everybody, YouTube is replete with people trying to give you these complicated formulas for figuring out when you should start taking Social Security. And they mostly say, well, you know, it's got good sides and bad sides and yada, yada, yada. You might need to take it early, but you might want to hang on because when you hang on, you'll get more. And I'll tell you two things. Number one, all these pension plans, it's a game. They are hoping that you die before you start taking it. Then, you know, the actual number goes down. Then it's a survivor type of benefit, I think. I actually have a pretty nice one, but still, you know, it says it plays just like life insurance. The whole thing is that they figure that you'll buy it, you'll die. Sorry, that's not even buy it, it's die. Before you really start collecting it, because you're always kind of saying, oh, but if I wait a little while longer, I'll get a little bit more every month. And you go, yeah, it's true. He says, I'm not going to deny that that's so. Also, it's like when I think of inheritances and stuff like that. You should always try to get your inheritance before, like your parents die. You really should. Because, you know what? You need the money earlier on. I used my inheritance. Now, both of my parents are good and alive. I got what my mom was saving up. It paid for my mortgage at my big house. Of course, I owner financed that house at quite a big increase, and I financed it too, so I got all the interest off of it too, 7%. That's pretty good interest. I'm sure it doesn't keep up with inflation, but it's better than I would have gotten in most investments that were far riskier, I thought. Anyway, and the other half I spent on, or the part that was left, so now I don't, do I have anything I'm going to be getting from my mother? No. She lives with my brother. She paid off his mortgage. Now see, on mine, I actually didn't ask her to pay off my mortgage. I said I'll pay for your, you know, I'm going to give you a better return on your investment. And she charged me 5% interest, about the same as the bank was, but she got to keep the interest, and I guess she got tired of the whole thing, that it didn't seem very tax advantageous ultimately to her. But I'm always one that says, don't fret the taxes. The taxes aren't the big thing. It is the thing that's big. You know, you only have to pay a part. You get to keep the rest. Don't get weird about the taxes so much. Except if you're paying out all these huge taxes, you're not getting much for it. Which I think is kind of the way it is in the United States these days. Or at least people are thinking that way. They look at places like Europe, who they go, boy, they have lots of taxes. They'll take half your money. And you go, yeah, but look at all the benefits they give you. In the United States, you get no benefits. It's just pay. It's just pay. You don't get anything from it, you know. Over there, you get services, you know. You might get free leisure care or really low-cost leisure care, and everybody gets it, rich and poor. I'm going to go to the bathroom here. I'll put my phone on the... on the fence post here. I don't know if people can really see me all that good, but I don't think they're going to notice I'm peeing. Oh. Anyway. Oh, look at those flies. Oh. When they were inside, I'm getting attacked. Anyway. So, yeah. And this is what happens when there's some rain here. All of a sudden, you get all these flies. They're amazing. I'm doing it because they're all over my face. Yuck. Anyway, so, yeah. I said I would much rather pay interest to my mom than to a bank. And that's how he handled it for quite some time. At some point... I think we probably kept paying on it up until I sold it. And then I forget how that went exactly. We still needed most of the proceeds from all that money to buy our next house. In Oklahoma. Lisa really liked that house, but it wasn't a very good situation, to be honest. She had a wonderful kitchen, and that's what matters to Lisa, and ultimately, we had a septic tank, and the septic tank was screwed. And that cost Lisa's mom passed away, and she got $12,000 from the sale of her mom's home in New Orleans. Her part of it. There were five daughters. One of them died, but they just put the thing right down to the next, you know, to the grandchild that belonged to that one that died, Laura, and so they got $12,000 out of it, and all that went to a septic tank in a house that we ended up selling. We sold it for more than we bought it for, but you know, when push comes to shove, you know, it was mostly cheap rent for the 2 years that we were there. And we ended up back in eastern New Mexico, ended up in Portales. Anyway, and regardless. So yeah, first thing to do is, as soon as you can start taking a pension, start taking it. If you want to keep working, great. Bank that money. Do something with it. If you want to just say, okay, fine, I'm going to retire early. That's fine too, because you know what? You just don't know what the future holds. So far, things have been going pretty smooth. You know, if you had a pension, chances are you'd still have a pension. Lisa's dad had worked for the same company for his entire life. And when push came to shove, and he said, you know what, I don't want to work anymore. They had just sold that company to another one, and apparently they had screwed away the whole pension fund. There was no money. So, and the funny thing was, he had actually retired earlier, and then he came back and he went back to work, so that stopped, and that's when they screwed his pension away. And it's like, what? And you go, you should have gone to work for somebody else. Go back and work for the same people you worked for before. That's just dumb. Of course, I can never do that because, honestly, I've rarely worked for any place more than 2 years. The only thing that saved me was that I tended to work for education outfits, and I banked up enough service years working for different colleges, universities, sometimes public schools, regardless. And every time I would bounce off and then bounce back, I would get a huge pay increase because I was worth that much more. And I had that much more experience. And they had to recalculate. That's also what I tell people. I said, don't stay working for the same job all the time. I says, you will always do better financially leaving, even if you end up coming back later, which was funny because Eastern never hires people back. It's something about loyalty. But apparently, I was the best qualified. They really said, are you really sure you want Nevro? He's going to leave again. And you go, yeah, I know he will. And the boss man said, as long as you promise me that you'll be here for at least 3 years, and you're going, I'm not going to promise a thing. I ended up staying for almost 4. But, you know, there's better opportunities, better pay to be got. And I'm still doing it that way. Anyway, so I'm doing what I can do. And I'm not unhappy with my circumstances. Things are going pretty well. Now, the job I'm at now does not contribute to my pension at any level whatsoever. So as soon as we're feeling a little more comfortable about it, we start socking away money again. We shall see how it goes, honestly. Anyway, so those are my philosophies. I know there's people out there that say, you are a dumb fool, and your wife is an idiot for letting you behave like this. And you're going, well, okay. Because all I know is, I usually make more than those people that complain. And they can say all day long how dumb I am, and you go, well, I've got a better pension than you do, don't I? And I'm making more money than you do right now. And you can pat yourself on the back all day long and say, boy, you know, I'm so smart, and aren't I wonderful for sharing all this wonderful wisdom with other people? And you go, that's great. It says, I hope a lot of people listen to you. Because frankly, they won't be in the job market when I'm looking, and that means I have less competition for these jobs. And I'm not gonna, you know, says that works for me. Scott Adams said something that I'm not sure I'm willing to take this to this level. He's much more about systems than goals. He said goals are bad. Goals, you will reach some goal and then you won't know what to do with yourself. He says a system doesn't matter. He said he had a friend and he said he was a salesman. Didn't say what he was selling because he said I don't want to give him undue competition. Makes good money, really good money. And it all is from a system, because people will say, do you love selling? And he goes, no. And they go, well, why do you do it? I said, because the money's really good. And I've got a good system. And my system's good sufficiently that it doesn't matter whether I like it or not. I've got a lot of money. And I make up for the fact that I really don't give a flip about what I sell. Because this is, I'm actually getting the third boat that I've had in the last 10 years. And it's really big and nice, and I can go out and enjoy time away from everybody. And it's really great. So, anyway, now, I'm not saying I'm doing that. But what I am saying is, as soon as you feel like you've pretty much mastered a job and it's become just kind of a grind, it's time to stop. It's time to do something else, either someplace else or doing some other facet of the job. So we shall see what comes. So when people say, well, you were a CEO and then you drop back to this other thing, and you go, well, yeah, I guess. I go, that's true. And you go, well, don't you feel like it's kind of a letdown? You go, no. I said, it's all just been, I'm not going to say that I'm perfectly fantastic on this stuff. I gotta get back out in the wind. I hope my mosquito netting is tight enough to keep these dang flies out, because they're tiny. I feel like I'll just go straight through them. Oh, it's been, I can't get close to the boat or to the blister because it blocks this wind too much. And then the little midges can get me and eat me. Oh, this must be what it's like in the, where's that called? The Hebrides. Mostly the Outer Hebrides. They have a heck of a thing. And they put all kinds of things that flies and stuff don't like all over their bodies to keep these little midges off. Anyway. Well, I don't think I have much more to say. And you can say that is the dumbest advice, and you go, I'm not giving you this advice. I'm just telling you what my plans are and what I'm going to do. And if you can find some way to cheat me out of whatever money I'm getting because I'm a stupid idiot, I guess that's my fault. And I don't worry about it probably as much as other people or as much as I should. There it is. I'm hoping these little guys settle down at night. My other great hope is that once things kind of dry out again, it looks like they have, that all of these things will just die out. Those flies don't really live very long. They don't have long lives, especially these little bitty ones. I can't think that they would last very long. Well, anyway. Okay. That's it. I'm still kind of trying to figure out if I'm really going to put up my mast. I think it's a 35 foot mast. Try to do some amateur radio on it, but to be honest, I find that I'm not really much of an amateur radio person. I participate in nets and I check in. I don't have anything to say, particularly. And usually they can't hear me anyway. Something will happen. And it's like, well, what was that for? What's the point? Anyway, so. Okay. 7 o'clock. Holy freeholds. I don't have anything going on. Except getting chewed on by bugs. Don't know where I put my. I had some DEET, but. but it's kind of oily. That doesn't really work very well. It might be time just to go get in the get in the blister and get under the mosquito net and just relax. Let it block the vast majority of these little boogers. I think that's what I'm going to do. So, talk to you later. Bye-bye.